It was 1986. It was winter quarters on The Greatest Show on Earth on the Red Unit. And Doug and I were 18 and 19 years old. First day on the show, and they call you a first of May when you're new in the circus because the circus season used to start on May 1st. Best friends in clown college, and we didn't know anyone. And of course, we'd been told what our new lives would be like on tour, but when you actually get on the ground and you see everything for real up close and smell it and hear it, it's overwhelming, it's intimidating. Everything has a particular kind of dust on it from being on the road and from having all that animal hay around it and all that railroad dust, that metal dust. It's just a particular kind of like coating on the circus that it gets all of your senses when you're there. And if you've been away from it and you go back to it, you really feel it then too. And this was just my first look at it, and despite what anybody had warned me, I was suddenly intimidated. We actually did see a video that was sent to us while we were at Clown College a few weeks before this, or maybe a month or two before this. It was a video that was made by all of the clowns who were new the year before. So they were all first of May's, and just months into their circus careers when they made this video and sent it to us as the new first of May's. And it was just kind of like advice and tips from the front lines, maybe a little bit of warning, it was typical stuff. It's what you'd expect, really, except that there was this one guy who just looked right at the camera and said, "It's going to be really hard. No one's going to like you, and you may want to buy a futon." And Doug and I both used to really, during clown college, that's what we would say to each other to crack each other up. It was something we joked about a lot because this guy was obviously really not enjoying himself that much on tour. And I don't think we took it as any kind of an omen that our experience would be bad, but we didn't forget it. And one of the instructors at clown college heard us, exchanging this quote. It's going to be really hard on the road. No one's going to like you. You may want to buy a futon. And he warned us that there was this certain level of hazing that went on with the first of May's. The senior clowns, pulled all kinds of pranks. There were no limits. It was sometimes mean. And we were warned that there was this one typical prank that they would do on the circus train itself. The doors were just these plywood doors. And they were only secured by a hasp and a padlock. You brought your own padlock, and you just, when you left, you closed the hasp and put the padlock on it, and that was security. Your door was locked. And we were warned that if you were in your room with the door shut, someone could close the hasp and put another padlock on there and lock you in the room for as long as they thought it was funny, and that might be a long time. Now, I'd finished clown college, and I went home for a week or so to put my affairs in order, and then I'd return to Venice. And on this day, I made it to the arena in Venice, and I was introduced to some of the other guys who were there in the alley. Guys who, were well-known in the circus world, ultimately, but and I was very excited to meet, but they were just they're not as excited to meet me as I was them. And I just attributed this to the fact that, you know, not that it was something unfriendly or that they had anything against me, but I just figured, well, look, they've been through this many times. They've been in winter quarters. They've been on tours. They've been out on the road with the circus for years. And this just isn't as new and exciting to them as it is to me. They were just slightly lukewarm in greeting me, you know. And when Doug showed up, then the boss clown, Jim, just shuttled us off to the train where we'd, you know, make our way past this really noisy generator car and onto car number 54, which was all clowns. It was the clown car. I think there was, you know, something in the order of like somewhere between 15 and 20 circus clowns living in tiny little rooms on this car. And the hallway of this car shot straight down the middle of the train car. And it had no windows. It was just a long stretch of plywood doors on either side. They were all closed and it was dark. There was hardly any natural light in there. My room was this small, smelly, unwelcoming kind of little box. And Doug was just a few doors up throwing his bag in there and like stepping into his room for the first time to get a feel for how small it was. So I went into my room too to kind of get a feel for it. And right away there was the sound of him trying to get the door open. Like the rattle, you know, of trying to like push it open. And then this thud, you know, of him, you know, trying to like force it open. So, you know, he says, fuck. And then I hear more forcing sounds. And then I hear him yelling at, you know, whoever this is outside in the hall who has locked him in there. I hear him saying, fuck you. And there's no answer. In fact, actually, just in the few minutes that we had been on this train, we didn't see or hear anyone. It was suspiciously quiet in there. There was nothing. And then he calmed down for a second. And he just knocked on his door from the inside. Just this was the first moment where I thought, oh, I have to go and help him. But I had this dilemma because, A, if someone had padlocked him in, there was little I could do to get him out anyways without the combination of their padlock. And B, I didn't really want to start off my whole circus career on the wrong side of this hazing thing. You know, like, would it be better just let them have their harmless fun with him and not draw any attention to myself? You know, and on the other hand, I didn't want to betray my only friend on the show. Because, you know, what if there was a fire or emergency or something? I didn't even know if he could get out of there any other way than through that door. And then while I'm pondering this, Doug's in the room building up this rage, which he soon unleashes on the inside of the door. And there's this thunder of foot and fist against plywood going on two doors up. And he was just pounding and kicking for his life. And he screamed, open my fucking door. And at this point, this was the first time I questioned this career choice. And until now, I couldn't imagine any reason why it'd be a bad idea to be a clown in the circus. But I had my doubts at this moment. And so I got up and I stood out in the hall so I could just see what could be done. And I didn't know how many clowns would be involved, what they had planned for us, but I couldn't leave him in there trying futilely to kick the door open. And I stepped into the dark hallway. It's very narrow. And there's a voice way down the other end of the hall coming from the darkness, like a croak. And by the way, over the next 2 years of shows, train runs, load-ins, load-outs, free rolls, come-ins, walk-arounds, soap gags, rolling around in elephant shit, 3 shows on Saturday, sometimes 3 on Sunday, pies in the face, birthdays, everything in between, I'd come to know this voice, this croaking from the end of the hall, very well. And it was this understated, nonchalant, coolly unconcerned voice of a guy named Joe Strange. And in very short time, I'd come to understand that he didn't care enough about Two First Amaze to have come up the hall and locked one of them in the room. And he definitely, at this moment, didn't care enough to come down and try to help or do anything. And I'm just standing there in the hall staring at Doug's door, which now seems to buckle with every single kick he delivers to the other side of it. And there's this voice coming out of the darkness. It slides. And after that, Doug stopped kicking, and the whole clown car went silent again. And then Doug's door just slowly slid open, and there's like a little sunlight coming through into the hallway where I was standing. And he just sticks his head out, looks at me, and he says, "It's really hard. No one's going to like you, and you may want to buy a futon." Hey, thanks for listening to the Frickin' Circus podcast at www.frickincircus.com. My name's Frick. You can shoot me an email, frick@frickincircus.com. Peace out, sauerkraut.